and welcome to another episode of the Esquire Q&A podcast, the show where we sit down with men and women who exhibit both style and substance. This week is no different, and today we're going to delve into the world of art, design, and creativity. Now, each year, Dubai plays host to Dubai Design Week, one of the biggest celebrations of creativity here in the Middle East. Ghassan Salameh is its guest curator, as well as being a designer himself, a researcher, educator, and urban activist. Now, ahead of the event itself, which is currently going on here in Dubai, we're going to sit down with him to find out more about his curated exhibition, as well as his own thoughts on the world of design in 2019. Here we go. All right, so I've just done a little intro for you, but one of the things I like to do is always get the guests to introduce themselves. So let's say, for example, you walk into a party, you don't know anyone, they don't know you. How do you introduce yourself, and what do you say that you do?
I mean, usually I do not like to introduce myself by my job. it's not something I'd define myself as a designer, but I do many things. This is why I cannot really put a label on what I do. I have multiple interests. I've been involved in very different projects, all related to arts, culture, design in general. But yeah, I don't particularly like to label myself as one thing.
Okay. But you are part of design.
Yes.
Design is a large part of your life.
So definitely. So I've studied design at university, graphic design. Mm-hmm. And I know that I've been interested in this since the beginning. Mm-hmm. I just didn't want to get myself part of one discipline, particularly as graphic. So this is why I went on experimenting. I didn't want to be employed by an advertising agency, because that was one of the main routes that a graphic designer could get into. So I started experimenting and freelancing on my own in different projects. So I really went into experimenting with different projects. I was part of I was working on from films to designing. One of the craziest projects I did was to design a collection of display mannequins for shops. I didn't know that was a whole industry on its own, you know. So I really experimented in different projects, and until I did my master's degree, which then helped me kind of understand what industry I want to be part of, which strangely went back to my father's kind of work or craft, because he works as in the metal industry, as a blacksmith. So I grew up around a lot of the handwork and exposed to workshops and materials. So after going, even experimenting with digital new technologies, at some point was working in stuff related to augmented reality and robotics. I went back to like the hand, the hand related materials to the industry. So design in general has always been part of my journey, but very different, very multidisciplinary in that sense.
So then how synonymous is kind of good design throughout all those things? Because most people would look at, okay, graphic design on a computer, and now you're talking about kind of metallurgy and metal sculptures. What kind of, how does all that tie together?
I think design, so that's the key, is not to be stuck in the tools that or the limitation of a particular, I mean, that's my personal choice. There are some people who like to specialize in one thing and be good at it and become really experts in producing things, which is great, because the industry and we need people who are experts in the making part. But generally, I've been really interested in the conceptual and thematic part of it all, or the approach rather than the actual execution.
Okay.
So that's why I consider myself being able to navigate from different disciplines, because the design approach is the same across different projects. And yeah.
So what attracts you to kind of, why do you move from one to the other? Or what, like, why didn't you, why don't you want to master one? Why is it that you kind of felt compelled to kind of bounce around these different materials, tools?
Because for me, one of the biggest motivations was for my work, and this is something I was able to articulate better now when I grew up. But when I was younger, I always wanted to do something that was, I used to use the terminologies meaningful and something that... that has a meaning, but I really didn't know what that actually meant. And now I can articulate better. So I know that looking back at all the projects that I've done and all the jobs that I've taken, what mattered to me most was the impact that the work that I was doing on the people around me, on the society, on the environment was, rather than making money or making a name for myself. That was the only consistent thing throughout my career, and this is still the big motivation for me. It's the impact that I have or my work has in general. Doesn't mean that my work needs to be impactful in the sense that it needs to be recognized, but at least the way I work is more, needs to be more responsible, thought of, holistic in that sense. So that's the constant, basically, in my work.
So kind of you're attached to this year's design, Dubai Design Week.
Yes.
In what capacity?
I was invited to curate an exhibition, which is going to be based in Downtown Editions, which is in downtown design. The exhibition main title is about regional design. What I chose to do is to work on a research design exhibition. What that means is that we're discussing what's happening right now in terms of design in the region from different perspectives with different formats that are presented. We're not featuring the final object itself.
Okay.
It's really more about the process. It's about different components that go into creating this object or producing the object, as well as what consists the design industry in general or creative industry in general, and who are the different stakeholders. And we are offering awareness on this, on these thematics by highlighting projects from these different stakeholders and giving examples of the diversity of these projects. So you're going to have institutions that are have a governmental aspect, or private organizations, nonprofit organizations that are supporting designers. You're going to have independent designers who are doing experimental work that is interesting. You're going to have researchers that are publishing research studies about the design and creative industries in the region. You're going to have makers who are experimenting with materials that are made out of upcycled waste, which also is innovating in terms of materials. We're going to have, for example, projects that are related to engineering, but also design. How can designers design better for social impact? So it's really showcasing the diverse spectrum of what is design in the region, rather really much beyond the aesthetics of what consists in Middle Eastern design, but more into reflecting what's actually happening in terms of the innovation in the design region. And this is something that a lot of people don't know, and it hasn't been put in one place yet. So that's the attempt.
Not a finished product, kind of the work in progress.
It's, the finished product is not really the important part of the exhibition. It's how do you get there? What are the different stages that are considered? What are the things that that go into creating a product? So if we're talking about a ceramic vase, for example, Who are the craft people that we're collaborating with? Where are we sourcing the material from? Mm-hmm. Is it being sourced responsibly? What kind of material are we using? Is it local? Is it regional? Is it imported? How do you market your products? Who are the, who do you work with? Did you get a fund to work on this product? Who are the organizations that are supporting designers? Where are you selling it? So it's really kind of a very comprehensive exhibition that highlights the different stages of a design business. By featuring those different stakeholders.
Which is quite interesting because, to stick with kind of the vase, you know, I see a vase, I think that's a pretty vase. And I pick it up and I take it home.
But
I put it down and there we go. And that's kind of, I only ever think of a pretty vase. I would never think about kind of the route the that complexity, that took being into existence.
Yeah, and this is very important because if you don't do that, that you don't understand that I'm not talking about you, but in general, as a consumer, we don't really think where our objects come from. And I think if we start thinking a little bit where they come from, then our choices are going to be different and the way we consume is going to be different. And in that sense, I personally would rather buy an object that has been locally produced or produced by smaller businesses rather than big, large businesses to support local economies and local industries, for example. Or I'd rather work with designers that they are collaborating with local organizations on for donating part of their revenue to them or designers that need the support in that sense because they are working on something that is conscious, that is responsible, that's environmentally friendly, then I can support their businesses by buying from them. So once you understand what goes into making an object or a design business, then identifying the different stakeholders that go into that makes it easier for the audience also to understand the value of the work, but also to make the right choice in terms of who to work with.
Do you think there has been a bit of a sea change recently with that? Because obviously, kind of, especially this year, we're seeing a lot of companies start to care about sustainability. A lot more people start to buy local as opposed to international. Is this a reflection of that? Or do you think there's still some ways to go? And so this is there to educate people into that way of thinking?
It's not a recent approach for me personally or a concept that I just recently started adopting. It's actually something that's been part of my career for the longest time because I started my own design studio in 2011 after graduating from my master's, and I went through the whole journey of starting on my own, not having any support, not having any funding, being in an industry back then in Lebanon that it wasn't thriving in terms of a design industry. There were no design weeks. The first design week started in 2012 in the region, in Beirut. So at the time there was not any support system like right now or infrastructure in the design system. So I went through the whole journey of starting up on my own and having to discover and explore the whole journey on my own. So I had to make all the choices and all the decisions on my own and learn from it. So that is something that made me understand this whole process very well of starting a design business. And also because I live in a place in Lebanon where most of the initiatives that are related to culture, to creative industries, even to environment and sustainability are privately initiated by the private sector and by people and activists who want to make change in their in their society. So also being exposed to that and being part of these communities also made me kind of converge these two aspects together.
So kind of where do you think, what do you think, when the world looks at kind of the Middle East and kind of design, do you think that we still have a ways to go to kind of start matching kind of some of the bigger design hubs in Europe and the US? Or do you think that we're now kind of playing with the big boys kind of up there?
Honestly, I don't personally think it's important to leverage ourselves with big industries. I think what is more important to me is to have our own story, have our own narrative that is contextual and local and that resembles our culture and society in that sense. So rather than just trying to adopt models that do not work here, if we do things that are homegrown, that are organic, that are grassroots, that really reflect what actually happens here, then I think it's more important, because that is more sustainable on the longer term, and that is more reflective of the society here. So if we do it right rather than do it fast, then that's what's more important. Yeah.
So kind of in your bio, it kind of lists a lot of your accolades, of which there's quite a lot. But one of them says urban activism. And that was kind of, we were kind of talking about before you arrived. What is urban activism?
Urban activism is a terminology that that involves people who work that are interested in making impact in the city or affecting the life in the city, but from a grassroots perspective from a perspective that respects the urban fabric of the city. So rather than, again, adopting models and just coming and implementing them in a space without respecting the context of the place, it's more of grassroots, understanding what constitutes this particular urban fabric, and then engaging the people who live in this specific urban fabric to be decision makers as well, how they foresee their cities, how they want to live, how they want their societies to evolve and their places to evolve. So per se, we're talking about the neighborhood in Beirut, and and one of the main neighborhoods that right now is like a big destination for tourism, restaurants, etc. Used to be a very like a medium to low income neighborhood with majority of people living there above 40 years old. And in 10 years, it was gentrified massively and became one of the most famous streets to party in Lebanon. And this, people think that's a positive thing because a lot of places opened and there's a lot of tourism, but they forget that a lot of people have been living there and their lives has changed completely overnight. So so that's when we talk about urban activism. It's when you take decisions that affect the lives of people on a mass scale, is to engage the people within this conversation and engage them in collaborating with you into shaping the way they see their future.
So like, instead of putting a big Walmart in the middle of town, actually trying to build up a market that involves local producers.
Exactly. That's one example. Yeah.
So kind of, with Dubai Design Week, it's already on. I can tell you that right now. I know when this is going out. It's already gone. How can people best kind of interact with the exhibition?
Definitely look at the program, identify what are the things that they are interested in, and then engage, come to D3 where the activities are. And then spend some time with the exhibitions and the project, and definitely engage with the designers, engage with the team of Dubai Design Week, ask questions.
It's a very very interactive exhibition.
I mean,
it's not just walking around looking. You can actually.
It really depends on the projects. There are tons of workshops and talks where people can actually attend and be part of. They can already register in and attend, which is also very interactive. But also you have exhibitions, installations where there will be teams from Dubai Design Week that they can ask, engage with. For the exhibition that I'm creating particularly, also there's a chance for there is a lot of information that's going to happen there. You know, we even have around 8 to 9 panels, large panels that are printed that are featuring research studies from different countries in the region on different thematics related to women entrepreneurship, to the woodcraft industry in Tripoli, etc. So there's a lot of things for people to learn from and read. So that's also, I would suggest that people take their time in understanding what's happening.
Perfect. And if people want to kind of, I guess, kind of follow you and check out more about you, where's the best place to go?
I'm not as active as I should be on Instagram, but I think this is the, I have my website, which reflects the lighting design work that I do. It doesn't showcase the other projects, but I think Instagram is the most updated, it's the most updated place where people can check out my work.
Right, perfect. So. We will link that. But thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
And we look forward to coming down and checking out the exhibition for ourselves.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.
Well, that has been another episode of the Esquire Q&A podcast. I do hope you enjoyed listening to us, and please do remember to rate us using your favorite podcast app. Until next time, which is next Tuesday, I will see you very soon.